Hey friend, have you ever thought about licensing your art, but you have no idea where to start? Licensing can be a really great supplemental revenue stream for your business, and nowadays there's lots of folks looking for art to apply to their products. So this week we have Bonnie Christine on the show. She's an international renowned surface pattern designer, an entrepreneur, and an award-winning online educator. She's been creating artwork for brands and products around the world since 2009. She's a self-taught designer, and she runs the Surface Design Immersion Program that's geared for creative entrepreneurs. She's also the host of the Professional Creative Podcast, which I will link in the show notes because I also have an interview coming out on her show soon. During our interview on Proof to Product here, we talk about how making residual income through art licensing, how it can be a lengthy but also rewarding process and also a great way to make extra income for your business. We also talk about the importance of being proactive, how to handle rejection as a creative, and a breakdown of how creatives can use an art agent. We'll also cover the benefits of in-house sales team and the evolving impact of AI on art and business. Today's episode is brought to you by our Proof to Product Labs program. Labs is a dedicated space for product-based business owners to connect, collaborate, and really hold each other accountable as they work towards their goals. Every month in Labs, we meet online 2 to 3 times a year to connect with each other, and we discuss important and timely topics that are affecting product sellers. I have trainings and we do coaching calls. We have community share sessions and sprints to help you take action. All of this is intended to help you improve your business and become more profitable. To learn more, head to prooftoproduct.com/labs. That's prooftoproduct.com/labs. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of 4. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Hey, Bonnie, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a joy to have you. I'm excited for you to share your story and also what you're working on for this upcoming year with folks. So please tell us a bit about who you are, who you serve, and just how you help them.
I'm Bonnie. I am a surface pattern designer and educator. So that means I get to create artwork for products that require repeat patterns like fabric and wallpaper and gift wrap and stationery. So much fun. Katie, you'd be glad to know that we just recently entered the world of products with a physical product shop. We're looking at wholesale too. We're not quite there, but my goodness, so much fun.
That's so exciting.
We're super excited. And then, of course, licensing is really our bread and butter. So I teach others how to also become surface pattern designers.
Fantastic. So tell me about your transition into teaching, because you've been doing this a really long time. You have beautiful work that's been applied to a lot of different types of products. When did you realize, okay, I need to help other people do this too?
Well, yeah, because I really didn't see it coming. So my biggest goal in my life was to become a fabric designer. Fabric is the first product, my first love, my favorite kind of product that I get to work on today. And so I very much kind of decided to learn on my own. I went to business school. I think we have that in common.
We do.
It was then that I decided, like it was after college. So I almost went back to art school and I thought, well, let me just try my best. So this was 2009. And I just went kind of head forward into the whole thing. And so I took 2 years to learn all of it on my own. That would be like Adobe Illustrator. And I wouldn't have even called myself an artist. So I really learned how to illustrate and draw and then work in collections, put a portfolio together. And I just came out of that experience feeling very much like it had been really hard. It was very hard. I had piecemealed the entire thing together from every corner of the internet. I'd wasted a lot of time learning things in hindsight I didn't need to know. And the whole industry at the time felt very kind of closed, very like held tight to the chest. And I just had this passion for like, if anything that I learned could help someone else, I was up for it. But I still didn't like have education on my mind. So the opportunity came to teach for Creative Live in 2013. So this platform really does small classes. They flew me out to San Francisco from my tiny mountain town in North Carolina and put me in front of a live audience for 2 days to teach Illustrator. And this was the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done in my entire life. It went well. And I remember getting home and like collapsing on the sofa and telling my husband, like, never again. I'm so glad that's over. I was so nervous the whole time. And then Katie, like, it took a couple of weeks and then months of hearing from students that had taken this course. And it's so much more than learning Adobe Illustrator or whatever. It is so much more involved in following your creative dream, creating income from your artwork. I heard specifically from women that they were able to work at home with their children or leave their day job that they didn't like or do a side hustle that really impacted their family. And just slowly but surely, that really proved to me that it was a much bigger calling that was involved in me learning surface pattern design. So,
Bonnie, this is incredible. I don't know if you know this. I taught 2 days at Creative Live in 2016. And I agree 100% with you. It was the most terrifying thing. I was just so nervous. I kept telling them, you cannot tell me how many people are watching live. I don't want to know.
So, Katie, did you work with a content producer?
I did. I worked for months before I went out. And I was actually 28 weeks pregnant with my youngest.
I was as well.
No. Oh my gosh.
Sure was, except I was more than 20. I had a 6-month-old the first time I went. And then I went back a second time and I was like 9 months pregnant. It was extra not fun.
Oh my gosh. We have a very similar pathway is what I'm trying to say.
Do you remember who your content developer was?
It was a gentleman. Was it Chris? I can't remember his name.
Mine was Brian Lemus.
Okay. It was not him.
Okay. I just actually credit him so much. That process of working through content delivery and production and like why. Mm-hmm. And I'll take a second to just talk about it because I bet you went through the same thing. It was like, okay, you're going to teach this, but why are you teaching it? And it taught me so much about how important it is to talk about what the thing makes possible in our life. And that was new for me. And yeah.
Yeah, it was a really incredible experience. Like you were saying, it helped me refine my teaching, the why behind what I was teaching, showing the outcomes, as you said. I was really worried. We already were running Paper Camp at that time, and I didn't want to cannibalize what I was doing for Creative Live with what we were doing in our brand. But anyhow, it was a great experience. And that's so funny. I didn't realize that about you. And definite turning point.
Yep, for sure.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that story with us. I think it's great to hear how folks get into this like mentorship role and teaching role, especially when they have the experience firsthand. I think it provides a richer experience for students too, to learn from somebody who's been in the trenches. Thinking about licensing in general and surface pattern design, where do you see the most opportunity for creative artists and product creators as we move into 2025?
Well, I think licensing is one of the most beautiful revenue streams ever. And so I know we have so much in common. One of them is a very early income stream of recurring revenue. And so I kind of learned in probably the same time period, 2012-ish, the concept of residual or recurring revenue, right? Like do the work once, get paid for it over and over again. Mm-hmm. And licensing fits that bill so beautifully. So the concept is that you create artwork and then you license it to a company or a retailer or a manufacturer that wants the artwork. And they will pay you a royalty fee for a set number of times. Let's say generally a good concept is like 2 years. And so they're basically renting your artwork. But the really beautiful thing about that is that typically it's industry specific. So you can license one piece of artwork in, let's say, the fabric industry, and then go license the same piece of artwork across many other industries like wallpaper and stationery and gift wrap and home decor. And so one piece of artwork can really have a life of its own. For instance, I'm still getting royalties on artwork I made 10 years ago. And I wouldn't say it's like, it actually could maybe qualify as passive too. I don't use that phrase too often, but residual for sure. So do the work once, get income for it for many, many years. And then your job is really to create the artwork. And you can do that from anywhere in the world at any time that you want. And so it's my favorite probably revenue stream, especially for creatives and artists and illustrators alike. And it's a huge industry. So every kind of company, every product that has artwork on it, there's an artist behind that. And so you can pretty quickly figure out who's actually actively licensing, even from just maybe going into your favorite store and kind of just starting to pay attention to the products that have artwork on them, turn them over, look up the company that's producing them, that kind of thing. But it's really like every industry, every company, new companies as well. And then also typically it's country specific. So if you think about from a worldwide perspective, there is so much opportunity from baby diapers to, you know, rugs and kitchenware and all sorts of things.
Absolutely. I work with a lot of people that make a wide range of consumer gift products, and they love licensing because it allows them to work with different types of products that they would not manufacture themselves. So maybe it's wallpaper or tapestries or bedding or whatever. Like, they might not want to go through the process, or maybe it doesn't align with what they're selling in their product line, but they still want to create it and they still want to see that art on other products. And so I love the synergies that can be there for brands that can still have their product line, but also they can expand through the licensing. I do want to be clear though, it's a long game, right? Licensing is a long game. It's not a quick, talk to me about that.
Yeah. So we always say it's a long game because it takes a little bit of time for the ball to begin to roll. And when the ball begins to roll, it can really begin to roll. But let's put this into perspective. So for me, I'll just go back to my very first experience. For me, I had taken, let's say, a year. It was more than that for me, but I think reasonable today would be a year to really develop like a good, strong portfolio. Mm-hmm. And then you start showing it, which takes time to be picked up by a company. And then you start negotiating contract. And so that can take easily maybe 6 months. And then you're looking at designing for the product. So whatever the product is, that goes back and forth a bit, right? So you may have to take some of the work in your portfolio, apply it to the product, maybe make changes or you know, turn it into Pantone colors, whatever. And then you have to wait for the product to hit the market, which can be anywhere from 6 to 12 months. And then you have to wait for your first royalty payment, which is typically paid out quarterly. So you're looking at easily a year from the time that you get licensed to the first time that you see your first income from that. And so, but then it becomes, you know, like, how often are you pitching? How often are you signing new contracts? How often are you making new work? So yeah, you can really kind of bring it in-house, but you do have to be like proactive about it for sure.
Yeah. And wholesale is similar in that way that a lot of folks are doing in-house sales and outreach, but the more they do that, the more sales they're going to get. And similar to licensing, the more you're putting yourself out there, your work out there. What do you think about working with art agencies or, you know, what do they call them? Art licensor? No, an agent, I guess. Thank you. Words are escaping me. Thank you.
Well, okay. So I have a lot of thoughts about it. I have up to this point not worked with an art agent, but I'm a huge fan of art agents. So let me break it down. An art agent is someone who you can sign on with, and then they pitch your work on your behalf. And then you split the commission that you make from that artwork in some fashion. So that's typically somewhere between 20 and 50% of your income you would be giving the art agent who booked that deal for you in the first place.
It's a big chunk.
Yeah. And so everyone's a little bit different. Everyone has a little bit of a different, like, guidelines. Different agents work differently. So you want to make sure that you get with an agent who you align with kind of their policies and also who really gets your artwork. But if you are someone who might not have a ton of time to pitch or who don't genuinely enjoy the business side of it, like, let's say truly you want to be responsible for artwork and artwork alone. You don't really want to negotiate contracts. You don't even want to talk about contracts. You don't want to have to go hunting for like the art director at some company. Then really working with an agent is a beautiful choice. And then if you are the flip side, which is really where I've landed for a long time, which I kind of like getting in there. I really love the business side of everything. Then I pitch myself. But Katie, interesting thing is that over the last few years, I've ran out of time to do my own pitching. And so I've been thinking about working with an agent. And anyways, we decided to bring it in-house. And I don't have a lot of like data to share at this point, because it's really, really new. But I have someone on my team pitching on my behalf, and we've worked out just a very similar deal to a proper art agent. And I know some other artists who do this as well. Like, they just kind of sign on a friend and give them a percentage of whatever they book or make. So I think that it all kind of comes down to where you want to focus your energies.
Yeah. It's so fascinating to me because we're seeing this trend on the wholesale side of things too. In previous years, yes, in previous years, folks would go out and find sales rep agencies or individual sales reps to go out and meet with stores and sell their products. And that's still a very viable option and people are utilizing it. But we are seeing an influx over the last 12 to 18 months or so of people bringing in-house sales teams where that person is being trained on that brand's email systems and their workflows for pitching and, you know, their messaging. And it gives brands a little bit more control over what's happening because an agent is usually representing multiple people, right? So they still have your best interest at heart. They still are doing a great job, but you can kind of control the narrative and the workflow and the timing and the cadence of all of that when it's somebody in-house. So I'll be curious to follow up with you in like a year or two and see how it's going.
Me too. We're really excited about it. And what you just said was a big part of it because I don't want to speak for all agents, but some agents have like, let's say, monthly requirements on how much new artwork you should be putting in. Mm-hmm. Well, the flow of my year is so up and down based on the education side of the business that I really cannot be held accountable to a certain number of consistent artwork in any given week or month. Yeah. It kind of goes like this, right? And well, you can't see me, but you know, it kind of goes up and down with the flow of my year. And so I want permission to be really prolific in one month. And then maybe like not in another. And so that just made sense to bring it in.
And frankly, that's how most creatives are too. They're right? inspired to create at certain points and they're not in others. And when it is forced to meet a deadline or a quota, it's not always our best work either.
It's so hard, yeah.
I know. Oh, thanks for sharing that with us. That's really great. Are there any other misconceptions that you feel folks have about licensing? Maybe they haven't started, but they're interested, but you know, I think the timing is a big one from my perspective, but is there of how long it takes to become successful with it? But are there any other misconceptions you want to let people in on?
I think one of the things that is always surprising is how difficult it can be to put your finger on the name of the art director at a company. And I really kind of just take a different perspective at this. I think maybe that's done on purpose. Because it really shows a lot to do. It's difficult. It requires like really putting on your research hat and going in down deep into rabbit holes to kind of figure out what companies are licensing and who at that company is the person you should contact. And so hear me out. Sometimes, Katie, it requires picking up the telephone and calling the company and being like doing, again, the most nerve-wracking thing ever. Like, hi, my name is Bonnie. I'm an artist. I would love to connect with your art director. Like, can you help me connect the dots? Super nerve-wracking and almost nobody does it. And so when you do that, it's like, my goodness, somebody's voice on the other end of the phone. And it really drives connection really quickly, similar to how it would be if you were in person at a trade show. That connection right off the bat goes so much further than, let's say, an email.
Yes.
So yeah, just being willing to do the hard work is really probably the common denominator for success across the board, but expect that it will be challenging and also expect that that is the reason why some make it to the top and others don't. Because when you hit the friction, do you lean in or do you lean back? And those who lean in will make it.
Yeah, even if it takes a while and even if the path is very zigzaggy.
And like, you will hear no more than yes, we all do. So let's say like, I don't want to hear anyone complain until you get 100 no's. That's how much you should be really pitching yourself. And I suspect you'll get a yes out of 100 no's and that will be worth it.
Totally. I think, and I know because I've been on the side of pitching my products to stores. You've been on the side, you still are, of pitching your art to, like, it's hard to hear that no. And especially at the beginning where you are hearing consistent no's, it's very defeating. Like, how do you maintain a positive attitude? Or what do you tell your students that maybe are feeling a little defeated because they've been reaching out and hearing crickets or nothing in response?
I think just normalizing it. My art director that I work with the most says, there's nothing like releasing a collection. It's like taking your clothes off and being like, what do you think? And, you know, it is, because we, I think your audience and my audience are probably very similar. Like, we create from our heart, which means that our work feels like a direct reflection of us. And so when someone doesn't like it or doesn't respond to it, it can feel really, really hard. And so one thing I would say is that no one is out there like bashing your artwork. Art directors are incredibly lovely, and it's really their job to see artwork. And so even if it's a no, they're all incredibly kind. And so there's nothing to fear, but there is some kind of vulnerability involved, and there is some personal growth to have alongside it, which I think should be talked about more, right? Like, we have to be able to hear no and not take it personally. We have to expect that and know that there's a million reasons for it due to timing or unforeseen things that are completely outside of our locus of control. Maybe they have other things happening. Maybe they have budget cuts. Maybe they have people out. Who knows? But expect to hear some no and not take it personally. And also look for the growth in every no that we do hear. So I always suggest, if you hear no, right, like very, very professionally ask if they would be willing to share like one piece of advice to make your work stronger, and take that with the ability to grow from it if it's something that you can apply. And then also always ask for permission to maybe let them know the next time you have work that's available. Let's say maybe 4 times a year, you reach out to a list of art directors that you've connected with over the years. And they, again, it's kind of their job to know what's available. So they typically love to see new work.
Yeah, those are great tips. And I agree with them for wholesale as well. Just for those listening, that like the asking, can I keep you updated on what's coming? You know, that leaves the door cracked open for you to continue reaching out without you feeling kind of like weird about it, right? I think a lot of folks, at least in my world, they may hear no, or they may get no response, and they think, oh, I can never reach out to that person ever, ever again. And that's not true. We can continue. We're developing our art, our products. Let's continue to show it to them. I mean, we can't add them to our email list unless we have permission, but we can continue to build that one-on-one relationship.
And again, it's that long game. So I have so many artists in my community who kept the door cracked maybe, and it was, you know, didn't really come back to fruition for a year or 2 years, but the company had the connection and it just wasn't the right timing. So yeah.
That's usually the bulk of it. Like, usually it has nothing to do with us and our art or our products. It's something's going on with that other person or with their systems or their timing that just make it a not right now thing. So thank you for sharing that. I think that'll be really helpful for people to listen in on and hear. I'm curious, we're seeing a lot of talk online right now about AI and uses for business operations as well as creating art. What kind of impact are you seeing with AI in the surface pattern world? And then also just kind of what's your take on how business owners can use it or should use it or maybe not use it? Like, what's your general thoughts on it?
Isn't it a wild time to be alive, Katie?
It like, sure is.
Truly, it's happening so quickly. We're dedicated to kind of being at the front of like what is happening, and also it's happening so fast. So it's going to be really interesting. I think that I can share where we stand today. Where we stand today is that AI is here. It's not going away. And it is incredibly beneficial in a way to work more quickly. So I think that we're able to move more quickly than ever before. My favorite way to use AI is not for ideation or generation of content, but it is for taking something that we've already done and making it quicker. Like, for instance, if I do a podcast, right, then I can take the transcript and pull out the timestamps of the most quotable moments, right? And I used to have to listen back to it and handwrite those timestamps.
Yep.
And now, right? So it didn't write the script for me because I want to be the original creator of the content. But after it's done, I can use it to quickly streamline old processes. Mm-hmm. So we love it for reasons like that. When it comes to artwork, right? Well, we're kind of positioned right in between two major players in the industry, Adobe and Procreate. So Adobe has fully leaned into AI. Procreate has fully leaned away from it. And Procreate has actually said that they will never have it available in their program, which I think is an interesting statement to make at this you know, point in time.
Yeah.
So we also have an audience who's split on it. And I think that we'll have an array of different artists, artists who refuse to touch it. That's kind of where I am currently for my artwork. I don't really want to use it for my own artwork. Kind of takes the joy out of it anyways.
Yeah.
I think we'll have some people who play with it. And then I think we'll have a new kind of artist who isn't a traditional artist, but they are incredibly creative. And I would say they're more like architects than artists. You know, I feel like it's important not to really shame anyone, like no shame on any of that. Like play with it if you want to play with it. Just be transparent about whether or not you've used it. Because I think the most important thing is that a traditional person who took hand to paper doesn't compare themselves to something that AI was involved with. And that's fair enough, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think one thing in our court is that AI generated art can't be copyrighted. So when it comes to licensing, that is a huge win for us. And then I also think that I just have a hunch that let's call it like human generated art will be more sought after and maybe more prized more than ever. Because there's something really, really unique there that, like, we don't just want the finished art, right? Like, we want the story. We want the humanity behind it. So I could talk about that forever. But I think now more than ever, it's important to show your face alongside your art so that people really connect you, your you-ness, and your humanity with the work that you're doing and know that that drive to create, that was made within us. It will never go away. It will never be replaced by anything. Like, we will always be called to take hand to paper.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly with you. I'm in the camp of, okay, what can we use this for business efficiencies and to make things run faster, smoother. But on the art side, on the creative side of things, whether that's writing, whether that's drawing and illustrations, you know, all of that is still, in my opinion, going to need that human hand and brain, the ideas, the creative juices. So thank you for sharing that. Let's talk about your immersion program. Who is this for and what are they going to learn?
Yeah, Surface Pattern Design Immersion is our annual 8-week course. And we've run this course since 2018. We've graduated over 10,000 students, which is amazing. And
that's great.
We love this course. So it really takes anyone who is where I was, who want to see their artwork come to life on a product, who want to earn income from their artwork through products. It is a very much considered professional development, even though, of course, we have people who come to us, you know, for fun and for side hustles. We really focus on the professional development of being a professional designer. And so you can, though, come to us with no prior existing skill. So my hope is that you come to us looking to make a business out of your skills, and also you don't have to have any skills to come. So I teach how to first and foremost gather inspiration, how to really take what you see in the world and turn it into artwork. And then we start learning Adobe Illustrator. And so the program is Illustrator based on the desktop, not the iPad. And we really start from the very beginning. So we open the program together and we learn every tool that is specific to illustrating in Illustrator. And then we work through color and illustration, of course, pattern mastery, how to design in collections that really balance each other and work off of each other. Once we have the collection kind of part, then we move into the business side of it all. So income from your artwork, creative entrepreneurship, multiple revenue streams. And so we kind of do the whole, I mean, we kind of liken it to art in business school kind of smushed together.
Love that. I like too that you're showing people how to use Illustrator. I was completely self-taught in Illustrator. Yeah. And it was tough. It's a tough program to learn, but it's so good too.
Yeah, same. I just self-taught, super tough, and also have such a passion for teaching. So we have, I would say half of our students come in with literally opening the program together for the first time. Wow. And then I have a good 25% of students probably who have worked in the program for a decade. And everyone just kind of comes in and learns the program for, like, specific to this application, which I think is such a gift because it's efficiency. Again, it's like different kind of setup for pattern design in particular. And it's so incredibly fun.
That's great. And you run this once a year for 8 weeks, you said. When is your next round running?
So yeah, we open in late February. Class begins at the beginning of March. And then we offer 12 weeks of support as well. So we have a pretty extensive expert team of alumni who've come through the course and excelled and, you know, have a business, a successful business with what they've learned. They come back year over year to serve on our expert team. So we have about 25, we call them the Love Squad, alumni who come and answer all Adobe questions, Illustrator questions. And then, of course, we also kind of hold your hand throughout it all. So we do multiple live Q&As. I do multiple live Q&As every week throughout the program, and we offer 12 weeks of support. So
that's fantastic. I like the hybrid model. That's what we do for our Paper Camp program too, where it's like some of the coursework they do on their own, and then we have the time to like discuss it and help them apply it and implement what they're learning, because there's so many programs now where you're just left to implement on your own. And clearly you're not doing that with your folks. You're helping them with the implementation process.
Yeah, it's my favorite part of it. I think last year we answered something like 30,000 questions during the course. And our goal is to get them answered, you know, same day.
Yeah.
And, you know, AI is a really fun thing to talk about from that perspective. We have something called the Bonnie Bot inside the immersion course, who has specifically been trained on every live Q&A I have ever done, Katie, and the entire course, but nothing else. So it's not pulling from universal information. Mm-hmm. We've trained it only on my content, but it has significantly reduced the amount of time it takes to get a Bonnie answer, which is so interesting.
It's wonderful because it puts the information you've already created at their fingertips. I love them.
Yeah, so fun. And then of course we do live support too. So
awesome. Well, where can people join the waitlist or learn more about this? And we'll include this in the show notes too.
Yeah, so over at bonniechristine.com/immersion.
Fantastic. Bonnie, it's been a joy to chat with you today. I had no idea that we had so many similarities on this business journey, and it's just really great to connect with you and talk through this. So thank you so much for joining me today.
You too. Thank you so much, Katie.
Of course. Big thanks to Bonnie for joining me today. If you are interested in learning more about surface pattern design and licensing your art, be sure to check out Bonnie's immersion program, which will open for enrollment soon. I'm going to include that link as well as her podcast link and all of her other links in our show notes for you, so you can easily connect with Bonnie and learn more about her different products and services. And if you're looking for help with selling your products to the wholesale market, I do want to invite you to join the Paper Camp waitlist. We are gearing up for the 45th round of this wholesale program, and it just keeps getting better and better with each round. If you are new to wholesale and want to get those foundations in place, we got you. Or if you're feeling like you've plateaued when it comes to your current wholesale strategies and revenue, then I want you to head to proof2product.com/papercamp and join our waitlist. Again, that's proof2product.com/papercamp. We have helped more than 31,000 brands grow their wholesale revenue and put more profit back in their pocket, and we would really love to help you do the same. So if wholesale is something you want to focus on in 2025, join that waitlist at proof2product.com/papercamp. All right, friends, thanks for listening until the end. If you found today's episode helpful, please share it with your friends. And also consider leaving us a 5-star rating and write a review on your favorite podcast player. I read each and every one, and we really do appreciate your support. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.